This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. There you go. Welcome back. I'm Stafford Chidge. This is the Chelsea Fancast, and I am joined by Jonathan Kidd.
Hello, everybody.
And the absolutely fantastic, earning his money tonight, Dan Silver.
Good evening, everybody.
Lovely to see you, Dan. I mean, I go back to it. I was saying in the end of the previous part, I had such a great day on Saturday, and in the part of that was seeing you for most of it, really. I mean, we were in the pub before. We went to the old Atlas afterwards and the SGM. It was a cracking day, mate.
That's perfect. It puts a smile on your face. Whatever was on the pitch, Walker, I think, I've got some good Chelsea people in my life.
Yeah, makes a big difference. It really does, even though the football is shit. But, you know, this is the thing. We'll all be there on Thursday. I'm already looking forward to Thursday when we play Man United in... Man United.
Can I say, by the way, I took the wonderful Gary Phillips, who listens to the podcast.
Gary Phillips.
I took him, and he was a fantastic guest. And
is this Gary who sits with you?
No, this is he's a film connection.
And his dad, right, yeah,
his
yeah.
His dad worked with my dad, and a big Chelsea fan, and he was great. That's what I'd say. So it's just nice to.
What does Gary do?
He's a film man, involved in film and distribution, and great knowledge. He's given me some great tips about trying to do my dad's documentary. So he's great. Going to get him along again. Yeah. So
I used to be a film man.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. Can you give me a template for a budget for a film that I can then submit for funding?
I might have one stuck around somewhere. What kind of a film? Documentary or a feature film?
Documentary, yeah.
Yeah, docs I can do. But it's probably all changed since my day, mate.
Yeah, it won't matter. I'll get, I'll apply. I'll add a zero to everything.
You want some funding?
I'm after funding from Northern Ireland Screen. I'm going to attempt to get it from, yeah.
Yeah. I always used to say, if you need $1 million to go and make the film, don't ask for that because it's stupid. Ask for 10 million. Otherwise, they won't take you seriously.
Well, funnily enough, I went to a production seminar, and the bloke said, if you're going to make a film, pretend that it's worth 10 million, even though you've made it for 20,000, he said.
You know what? This reminds me. This is, again, we're avoiding talking about the football most beautifully. But I had a chat with Kerry earlier on, and I was trying to explain to him why our strategy of buying young players was a load of old bollocks. And I said, you've got to understand, Kerry, that these people have been, I mean, Todd particularly, he's been heavily involved with movie financing. And I said, I used to be involved with movie financing. And I said, the old Hollywood studio kind of strategy always was, you would invest in 10 films. You would expect at least 6 of them to be absolutely awful and make a huge loss. you would expect two or three of them to just about wash their face, and you would expect one of them to be a blockbuster, which would make enough money to cover up for the other six to nine that didn't really do very well. And I said, it works. I said, but that's movies. We can't afford as a football team to have one player who does brilliantly well and the rest of them to stink the place out, Kerry.
Yes.
Which is exactly what we've got. And he said, oh, yeah, I like that. I like that.
What's Kerry's view of all of this, Chidge?
He thinks it's as much bollocks as we all do, mate. He and I ranted each other for about an hour on the phone. It was like doing a fan cast. My missus said, what the bloody hell's going on? Because I was making rather a lot. I said, I'm talking to Kerry. She said, oh.
Because he normally says it's all down to the players, isn't he? In this instance, he must be saying it is all down to the players and they're not good enough. Yeah.
Players, manager. I mean, you know, his view is pretty much indivisible from ours. I mean, we should have him on the show. I mean, if he could handle the technology, I'd only have to ask him. But poor old Kerry is a man of a certain age, and I think this would be far too much for him to cope with. But you know, honestly, he obviously, you know, publicly he has to be very careful because he does work for the club. But you know, frankly, his views are not a million miles away from ours. Anyway. I will procrastinate no further, largely because me, Dan and JK have to go to bed because we're rather old and I can't keep these two up too late.
I've got to go to bed now. See you. Bye.
Okay, bye, JK. Nice to see you. Bye. Anyway, look, it's coming. You can't go yet because it's the most exciting moment in your entire week.
Oh, what? Is it the team for United, Chidge?
The team for United.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
United. It's the team for United. United. And it is, drum roll, here we go, Thursday night, can't wait, here we go, ready, boom. That's my team. Now, you may notice I've done something controversial here. Watching's got no bloody idea. But I said, look, I'm going to presume that Chilwell's fit, so therefore I'm going to stick him in as a left back. But obviously, that means Poch will pick Cucurella.
It'll be the kook, Chidge.
You're the kook. I can't bear watching Badiashile fuck it up anymore. So I brought Silva back.
He'll pick Badiashile.
Badiashile, yeah. I mean, the worry about Silva is his pace or lack of it. They are pacey up front, United, and that is a worry. Petrovic in goal, Zazi, because, you know, Chaloba's injured, so you've got no choice there. I've gone Gilchrist. I went early on this. I've gone Gilchrist rather than Gusto because I thought he might still be injured, but I'm encouraged by what I was hearing. But, you know, perm two out of Gilchrist, Gusto, Chilwell, Cucurella, and that's pretty much all you've got. But, you know, there you go. I think that's quite a big ask, actually, to throw Gilchrist in on this one, but he's young and he's got a lot of pace, so maybe why not? And he's just been handed a year extension to his contract, I gather, today, which is rather lovely. In spite of everything I said about Fernandes and Caicedo earlier on, I've picked Fernandes and Caicedo. I've done a Pochettino because, again, I can't, in all good consciousness, throw Cassidy into this. This is Man United, you know?
But don't you think he might just do that? I mean, I'm sorry, you're going on about your team.
No, I don't think he will. No, it's all right, man. Don't worry. We can riff away as much as you like. I can't see him throwing in Casaba, and I wouldn't throw him in a game of this magnitude. Yeah. Which means, therefore, Connor gets the number 10 position. Palmer's undroppable. He stays out on the right. I've gone Mudrick rather than Sterling because Sterling never turns up when we play anybody, you know, a big team. Even though he must hate United having played for Liverpool and City, but I've gone Mudrick because I think he'll cause him a bit of trouble with the pace, which poor old Jackson gets stuck in the middle again, which he's no good at. I thought he was rubbish against Burnley, by the way. We didn't mention that, but you know,
second half in particular, he was terrible. Yeah.
But again, it's stick him in the middle. He's rubbish. Stick him on the left. He's pretty good. But then who do you play in the middle? It's just such a fuck up that we don't have a proper striker at the club. It's just unbelievably inept. So there you go. I mean, I'm a bit kind of met about my side already, to be honest. And I think with good reason, JK.
As I said, I think because Chua hasn't figured, I don't think he'll pick him. It'll be Cucurella. And similarly, I get the impression if a player is only 75% fit, he won't play him either. So I think Gilchrist will get in because there's no one else. And as you say, Chidge, I think that's the triumvirate, Gallagher, Fernandez and Caicedo will reappear. I wonder if Madueke will get in. Instead of Mudryk, possibly. No, I think you're right. I think he'll come on as a sub. That appears to be his role at the moment. In which case he'll get on about, I don't know, 60 minutes probably. But yeah, it seems pretty reasonable to me, Chidge. But I don't think he'll pick Silva. I think the breakup has happened now, and that's it. Adish, he'll still fit. He'll play him, I think.
You know, one thing we've never touched on actually with the whole Silva Pochettino thing, and I think you might be right. I think there is a bit of a split there. Is the fact that Pochettino is Argentinian and Thiago Silva is Brazilian. That's like England v Scotland, isn't it? Or England v Wales or France. You know, they don't like each other, the Brazilians and the Argentinians.
But surely they would be influenced by that, Chidge. Surely not.
No. Well, surely not. Surely not. Well, you would have thought so, wouldn't you? I mean, I would like to think so. But, you know, stranger things have happened. No?
He played most of the season until Bill Silva up into mouth, and that was it. That was a catalyst.
Well, maybe that had something to do with it.
That was it, because he played a lot of games under Poch before Bill Silva had a little meltdown. And ever since then, he's A, got injured, hasn't got back into the team.
Well,
stupid.
Her dig was most certainly aimed at him, wasn't it?
Which is hence the not picky. I don't think it's based on the fact he's Brazilian. It's based on the fact that his wife's a gobby cow.
Well, yeah, maybe all very weird, but I do wonder. Maybe I'm just being a naughty kind of journalista type kind of nonsense. Well, really, isn't
said,
it?
What did she say? Now is the time to come. Now then,
now is the winter of our discontent.
Make a glorious summer by this silver of York.
Silver of York. I like it.
Oh, thank you. This Yorkie silver? Didn't she criticize Poch, or was she just saying he's not good
time
enough
to make a change? And I read that as manager gets the Spanish archer, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas in fact it was the obvious, the opposite happened. But did he stop playing for Brazil, Silva? When did that happen?
I don't know.
Does anybody know on the chat when he stopped
Somebody
playing?
Somebody will tell us.
Because he was nowhere near the squad the other night. I presume that's just the end of that. So it's all over with him. So he's not been travelling anywhere. You think he'd be the perfect person to pick if he's not been going on these big jaunts around the world. But clearly not considered good enough, even...
After the World Cup, Caroline, there you go. He retired from Brazil after the World Cup.
He retired, did he, right?
Yes. So there you go. So, Dan, are you happy with my team? Do you need a reminder? There you go.
So... I would say Cucurella, because I think she was fit enough. I think Gusto will play, and I think he'll do Sterling for Mudryk.
Yeah. I think he'll pick Sterling as well. I'm tired today, but that was a bit of a yawn. I mean, you know, I think the interesting thing is what we've got a problem with at the moment is arguably Mudryk, Gallagher and Palmer's best positions are 10, you know, behind the striker. And clearly you can't all play three of them in the number 10 at the same time. Mudryk has looked better centrally as a number 10. Gallagher's, I would still argue that Gallagher's best position is an 8, but we don't play a system which would allow an 8. But I think he's better there than he is deeper. Palmer's position, I think, is again best as the number 10. Just goes back to how ill thought out and badly balanced this squad is. You've got Jackson playing as number 9. He's clearly not, all over the place. You can look and go, well, why are you really playing there when you should be playing there? And I you can't blame Poch, all of that on Poch. I think he's been given a bit of a duff hand. I really do. Anyway, enough of that. We'll see what he picks on Thursday night. We'll be in the pub when the team selection comes through. And anyway, here's a great question for you. You're going to like this. Jonathan, I'll ask you first. Who are the most awful Chelsea or Man United?
I think you'd have to enter the psyche of the Man United fan to work that out. And I'm fortunately not completely aware of what's been going on, other than they're not very good. At least they've brought a lot of experienced players, but then they've got injured. So perhaps that's one of the supposedly positives about buying youngsters, but all our youngsters have got injured. So I think they've been mismanaged, haven't they, in that Old Trafford is falling down, but they've now got a fish face has come in with all the money. So you'd expect there to be some improvement. I noticed that Mason's played the other day and scored and kissed the badge, which I felt was a bit
wanker.
I know it was very wanky. But yeah, they've had a terrible season. They've had lots of terrible seasons for the last few years just because of financial mismanagement, really, and never having good enough managers, which is part of it, I think, because they haven't been able to afford. I mean, when one learns of all the skullduggery going on with Abramovich paying extra money to people, you just think that perhaps it is that some clubs just don't get the top talent from a managerial, even managerial point of view, because they don't inject enough money into it. And I don't think injecting money has been really what the Glazers have been about. They've made some very strange purchases, and they've been interesting, some of them, but they've always somehow, some of them have been slightly past it. So Casemiro seemed to be a good signing, but then he's been injured. Varane has never ever got,
although a superb player in his day.
In his day, but you know, is he past his sell by? Same with I said Varane has not been anywhere near the player he was at Real Madrid. And they don't appear to have a striker. And yet the boy has scored a few.
Freeland.
But he's near, but he's not in the same level.
He's like he's no better than Jackson.
No, he's not, absolutely. So you wonder why that's allowed to happen. Garnacho is the one success story for me.
Simple Jack.
Yeah, very terrific player. But they've still got Maguire playing off and on, and he's complete liability. So
Flathead himself.
Yeah. So I suppose it's comparable, isn't it? But we can't say all American owners are bad, because the Liverpool lot seem to get it right. So
well, if you remember, we had Tony Evans on the show at the beginning of the season, who really genuinely felt for it. I mean, Tony's, you know, he's got some opinions that don't go down very well, but Tony actually worked at Chelsea for several years on their magazine before he, you know, became the Times football correspondent and all the editor. He was the editor of the football section at the Times. So he knows the club really well, and he's got an affection for it because he still lives in Pimlico, and he comes along a lot. And he was saying, I really feel for you, because what's happening to you is what happened to Liverpool when the American owners took over. They completely fucked everything up, and it'll take you a long time to undo the mistakes that they made. And he then accepted that Fenway did that and then corrected those mistakes. But, you know, what Fenway did is that, I mean, they hired Michael Edwards and Jurgen Klopp and left it to them. You know, they backed off and left it to them and gave them what they needed, and boom, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? If you give good football people the tools to do the job, they do a good job. Remarkable.
I think the most remarkable thing about Liverpool has been the fact that they've managed to recover from the team that fell apart after they won the Champions League. So this side is now competitive again.
Yeah, and did very well. Replaced the whole midfield, basically.
Yeah, I think he's done wonderfully. And also, I think they're a perfect example of experience plus the youngsters being able to gel in that environment, I think. Because all of them come in, I was watching the other day, they come in and they put in a very good performance, but they're part of the whole team. It's a very good team ethos, but it's older heads plus the youngsters with the great energy. And it's how it should be at Chelsea, and it's not. So.
Yeah, Dan, who are most awful, United or Chelsea?
Going by league position, Chelsea. Going by fundamental problems, I think we're as bad as each other.
Yeah,
because we're both the fact that Chelsea United dominated football for 10 years, the fact we're both so far from challenging shows how far we've both fallen. United haven't been close. They're dog shit. They've got a couple of good players, but that's it. I don't have as much for muchness as, you know, it's, we're both shit and we're both falling massively.
We got beaten up at Old Trafford by them just pressing it. God. Badly. Jeez, it was a terrible was performance.
And
we went a few times. We did manage to chip over the and because they were pressing so far up, we then didn't put the ball away again. So it was the same old up there.
Bloody Scott McTominay scores against Germany. How bad? I mean, bloody hell. Dreadful.
Yes, that's
dreadful.
Bringing back awful memories, isn't it? Now, of course, as JK kind of alluded to, we will have the return of young Mason Mount. I think for the first time, because isn't it? I mean, actually, United haven't been to Chelsea for. I looked at this when I, because I always do, don't I? You know, the last time we played each other and all of that kind of malarkey, and I looked at the last time Chelsea and Man United visited us, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The last time Chelsea played Man United at home was the 22nd of October, 2022. Because it's just the quirk of the fixtures, right?
It's a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I know. It's odd because we played them in December and May. So, or something like that. I mean, actually, I've got it up on the other one. It's really odd because we played them away in December this year. The home return fixture is now. The previous season, we played them at the end of May. It was our last game of the season, I think, or near as damn it. And we played them in October 2022. So Mount has not come back to Chelsea yet. So this is his first game back. So it begs the question, what's the reception he's going to get, Dan?
I don't know. It's a good question. Because a lot of the hate was across social media. I think there'd be a few discerning boos, but I think you'll probably get a generally good reception, I think. Because no one really knows a full story of why he left. There's a lot of talk, conjecture, whether his dad was at the club, blah, blah, blah. I think I think a lot of balance will get a good reception. I think the hate for Mount is a lot of it social media based. So I think, he won't get a Lampard-esque reception, but he'll get an okay reception.
I think he'll
depends. If he comes as a sub when they're winning 2 or 3-0, he'll get absolute pelters.
If he
celebrates, he'll get pelters. If he kisses the badge, hopefully he does a classic hands up. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, can't do it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to score. Yeah, I think he'll be a little bit meh.
JK, what do you think?
I think he'll be given the bird all the way through, regardless.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. I just think the fans want somebody to have a go at. I think all their ire with the way the season has gone will be, and the way the club have dealt with the whole, with everybody, with the way the owners have dealt with the club, I think will be focused on him, I'm afraid.
Mason Mount, your dad is a beep.
Well, I really hope not, because it's not the way we do things at Chelsea unless you go to Spurs.
Well, I don't think he'll be booed. I just think there'll be a lot of, go on, go on. I think there'll be a few boos, I have to say. I really do.
Well, I hope not. I hope not.
I hope not as well. I'm feeling the way the mood of everybody is. I can just see him becoming the focus, you know.
I think it might depend on the situation of the game.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
I mean, I think if we're winning, I think we'll be very warm to him. I think if we're getting a beating, he'll be the focal point of discontent. I'm kind of with you there, but I hope not, because, you know, he deserves. Well, actually, do you know what, Neil? You're reading my mind, Neil. Let's check this out. I hope not, Tuchich. He deserves better. Exactly what I was about to say, Neil. You're a mind reader. You are Mystic Meg. I do hope that he gets a good reception, because I like Mick. I'm very sorry he went. I'm very sorry about the circumstances he went. I have to say though, JK, he's nailed on to score, isn't he?
Yeah, of course he is. Yeah,
put money on it.
Oh,
definitely have a cheeky bet. I will probably have a cheeky bet on it. Actually, I hardly ever bet on the football, but
why be cheeky? Put a pony on it, kid. Put a pony on.
But not a monkey, right?
No, I don't go far as a monkey, mate. No, bloody hell.
Definitely not a monkey. I'll put a pony on it.
You put a zebra. Zebra.
What's a zebra?
No idea, but it sounds...
You just made that up, didn't you?
I did. It's an animal. Yeah.
Dan, you reckon he's nailed a score? What are you going to do if he does?
Mason Mount,
dearie me. Well, I wonder what... Oh, I was going to say, actually, that's a good point, given the kind of relative toxicity we've had recently. What happens if we lose, Dan? What's the atmosphere going to be like if we get a beating off United?
It's going to be horrific. It's going to be a lot of booze, a lot of... Be interesting if they aim it towards Poch or Bowley and Co. Or both.
Both,
yeah. I think it's going to be... It's not going to be nice if we lose. I don't think we will, personally, but I just think it's going to be... Had we lost to Burnley, it'd been a hell of a lot worse. But this is Man United, so you can lose to Man United, even a very good Chelsea team.
See, I disagree. I disagree. I think it's worse to lose to United than it would have been to lose to Burnley. I know that sounds odd, but the fact is we hate Man United far more than Burnley. You know, there's a part of me that thinks we really fucked up. We deserved that. Fair play to them. They got what they needed and they're scrapping for everything at the moment. I hate United with a passion. You know, Spurs, Arsenal, United, Liverpool. Yeah. Fuck losing to those four. No, can't happen. Don't like it at all. So I am personally having the massive hump if we lose to United on Thursday.
I would definitely have the hump, but I think losing to United is more respectable on paper than losing to Burnley.
Well, I get your point. You know, in pure footballing terms, you know, it would be far worse losing to Burnley. But from an emotional supporter kind of basis, losing to United, I can't stand it. City, I find forgivable on the, you know what, they're actually a very good team, a lot better than us. But I cannot abide the four matches that I look out for every season, Liverpool, United, Spurs, Arsenal, and they are the ones I do not want to lose under any circumstances. And I go absolutely ballistic if we win. JK?
Part of it is because the City supporters don't abuse us, because it hasn't been the serial abuse other than
they're like us of the North, really, aren't they?
Yeah, there's an element. The odd rent boys come out of their mouths, I think, in the past, but they haven't. They're not stuck in the past with these ridiculous songs that they like, both Liverpool and United. With you know, the John Terry song will be
Fever John Terry.
Yeah, that'll be have an outing as it always does. In the same way that Liverpool always do the, you know, you've
won. Ain't got no history.
You haven't got no history, shit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think City didn't have a history before the takeover, did they? They didn't really know true about
it. That's as untrue as it is to say that we didn't.
I'm being facetious, you know what I mean? But they had even less of a history than we did. You go back to...
No.
Where was the last cup?
No.
City, mate,
no way, man. They were winning the league in the 30s, the 50s.
No, we're talking about recent history.
Yeah, they were in the European... They won the European Cup Winners' Cup the year before we did. We knocked them out and they were holders the year we won it. They won the league about a couple of years before that. They had an absolute...
We're talking about the last 30,
yeah, they
40
had,
years.
Yeah, like, they went down to the third division, yeah, which we avoided. So they had their... Uber shit. Well, they had a bit of a shit time. The same time we had a shit time, because of course we were playing them in the second division a lot, if you remember.
Yeah.
And then they had that really awful spell, which was around the turn of the century, I think, wasn't it, when they were in the third division. So yeah, you know, I think that's why I've never had much of a beef with City fans. I've always seen them as like us of the North, really, because they've had their fair share of shit. We should talk to David about this when he comes on. Can you remember this, JK, for me? Do you promise? Because he'll be coming on in a couple of weeks. I'd be nice to see him again. So we can talk about that affinity, see if we can get him to admit that, because he's a spiky old bugger, so he'll probably deny it. You know, but let's see if we can try and lull him into a... We'll try and do to him what Pep does to opposition managers. Well, I love you all. I think you're all so great. I think you're fantastic. We do that. We'll do a pep to David. David, we think you're fantastic. We think you're a lovely fan. Lovely, lovely. Anyway, the Pep bawling out. Did you see what Pep did in the presser? I can't quite remember what he said now, but somebody asked him a question And he basically answered in the most sarcastic way possible, saying, "It's because I'm a big head and I love myself and I do all this." It was absolutely, yeah, there we go. Bat Knight, yeah. About his ego. Exactly, I had it right. Where's he gone? Where's Bat Knight gone? Lol, did you see Pep's conference about his ego? That's right. He basically says, "Because I've just got such a huge ego and I love myself and all the rest of it." It was brilliant. It was the way to deal with these fuckwits, frankly. But there you go. Anyway, I'm digressing and doing my usual thing of avoiding talking about the football. Here we go. Have a few stats for you. He says, not being able to find them, of course. Waffle. Here we go. Well, despite the fact that we were pony-ish against Burnley, we've got a 5-match unbeaten league run. 1-2, drawn 3. We've lost just one of our last 8 Premier League matches at Stamford Bridge. 1-5, drawn 2. However, we've won just one of the last 14 head-to-heads against United. 7-7, lost 6. The sole victory was in the 2020 FA Cup final. And the last league victory over United was way back in November 2017, which sounds absolutely abominable, which I find actually quite frightening that we've only, yeah, I mean, there we go. Just trying to think. Yeah, exactly. It was exactly that. It was in October 2017. I'm trying to, that must have been Conte last time we beat them at home. Yeah. Yeah,
Murata goal.
That's right. I mean, I remember the 4-0, which is one of the funniest games I've been to because we absolutely destroyed them and Mourinho lost the plot, didn't he? But yeah, so we've only lost twice at home since 2002.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great! But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Which is interesting. There's been a lot of draws against United. In fact, I think something like the last 3 or 4 have been drawn. Sorry, I keep whizzing around. I've got so many bloody pages in this script. It's really hard for me to keep track. Yeah, here we go. At home, the last 3 matches have been draws. So 0-0 in 21, 1-1 in 21, 1-1 in 2022. And we lost 2-0 before that in 20, as I was saying. And then it was another draw, 2-2 before that. So it's a weird old fixture to kind of read, plus the fact that we're both, I mean, I think the thing that's really annoyed me most of all recently, JK, is the fact that we haven't beaten them and they've arguably been one of the worst Man United sides in living memory.
They never seem to play as badly against us as they have been the whole season in the league. It's almost as if they up their game, don't they? Because I think we were expected to at least put in more of a result against them when we played them at Old Trafford, as they'd been on a bit of a losing streak. And yet we we managed to play so badly that, and also they were, they really were up for it. They pressed like madmen for the first 20 minutes. So perhaps it's got something to do with they are more aware of the fixture being something special for them than we are, because they seem to go for it. There just seems to be a, you know, it's like West Ham always seem to play us and come play out of their skins against us. It's something about the fixture. And I think that was the case over the last few years, but we've slightly succumbed to their energy recently. I won't be surprised to see them up their game again, actually.
Dan, what do you reckon, mate?
I think we're going to win because we've done, generally speaking, at home against big teams. We've done well.
We have. But the trouble is that they're not. They're
not a big team anymore.
No, bigger team. You know, like, so, you know, I think...
Biggish team.
Biggish. Historically biggish. I think we're going to do all right. I think we're going to put in a good performance, a better performance, I say. I think we're going to win 2-1. I think we'll be 2-0. We'll give away a really stupid goal from a corner with 6 minutes to go. And then we'll struggle and be 12 minutes of injury time to get United a chance to score. And then we'll win 2-1.
And they'll score twice and it'll be 3-2.
That as well. Yeah. No, I think we'll... I think we'll do a win. We just can't keep playing so shit week in, week out. We have to get a win. Something's got to click. And think, you know,
we've only lost the League Cup final, haven't we, in 9 games. So, you know, it's got draw written all over it, Chidge. Draw written all over it. Like,
well,
if we can score first, get a second goal, get a bit of breathing space, bit of pressure off, and then maybe we can get that thing called a win. We used to get loads of them back in the old days.
What's that game called? What do you call it? A win?
I think it's a... Is it a wine?
I think these toe rags will turn up on Thursday. It's the kind of thing they do when we play a bigger team. And in spite of United being as equally abject as we are, I can see our lot turning up. What worries me is that we've been conceding... Dan said it earlier. We've conceded 2 goals in each of our last 6 games. So I worry about the fact that we might concede 2 and our defence is still a bit ropey given who we're probably going to have. I worry about their pace and I worry about their ability on the counter-attack, which we struggle against badly.
They won't play a low block, though, which we struggle even worse against.
And
We struggle against everything. I don't know why we're saying that.
Well, I was going to say 2-1, but I'm actually going to change my mind. I'm going to go 3-2. I mean, it's got a draw all written all over it, JK.
Written all over it, mate.
0-0 draw written all over it. But and I think it might well be a draw because that's been the result that we've had against them so many times. But it was pretty tight up there. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, I think 2-1 or 3-2. The fact that we keep conceding 2 goals worries me. I don't know.
I don't think we will concede 2 goals, Chidge. I personally think we'll concede 3.
So we'll lose 3-2.
No, 3-3, I think it's going to be.
3-3. Fucking hell, mate. Yeah. I really don't know. I'm torn between 2-1 and 3-2. I'm going to say 3-2. All right. I'm hopeful that we'll win. I'm positive. I'm always positive before, and I ain't going to change now. Right now, would you like to play a game? You're yawning. I could postpone this. Well, I can't really. I'll have to go next season. I have got here, they played... For both, if you're quick and you want to, yeah. Dan's got his thumbs up. Dan's excited. I love it. I absolutely bloody love it.
My two stock memories of two players from the 60s that I want to throw in, just to know that I've got at least two.
Okay, are you ready then? Right. They played for both.
Moore.
Hang on. Hold your horses. Sorry. 28 players have represented both Chelsea and Manchester United during 28. Their career. Yeah, 28. Right. And they are, go!
Graham Moore.
Yes.
Mal Donaghy.
Yes.
Alex Stepney.
Well, I know it is. Yes.
Mark Hughes.
Yes.
Romelu Lukaku.
Yes.
Varon.
Yes.
Mata.
Yes.
Ray Wilkins.
Yes.
Parker.
Which Parker?
Paul Parker.
Very good, yes.
Oh, that was my one, you little bugger.
Oh, sorry.
Falcao.
One of my favourite players, Mickey Thomas.
Yes.
Mark Bosnich.
Yes. Arsic played for them, didn't he? Yeah.
Ray Wilkins.
Said him.
Oh, Veron.
Yes, said him.
Said him.
Not use the Kaku, but Mickey Thomas. Mason Mount.
Yes.
Struggling now. Tony Godden?
No.
Have we said Falcao? Did we say him?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I said it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That's probably
can
why.
Some clues?
My... Who? What? What? What?
Some clues.
Okay. In the middle of the pitch.
Matic.
Of course, Matic. How can I forget Matic? His name is...
Tommy Baldwin?
Yes! Yes. Okay, Leslie's brother. Leslie's brother.
John Phillips?
Nope. Close, but no cigar.
Leslie's brother.
It's five o'clock. It's Cracker Jack.
Oh,
Hugh Francis.
It's the other one. Whose daughter was married to Phil Lynott?
She was indeed, and the right poppet she was too. Stan Crowther, because you'll never get it.
Yes, Leslie Crowther. Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah,
Stan Crowther. Right. This bloke played for us recently. And instead of what his name was, he probably should have said drink vodka, like Freddie.
Only drink water.
Yes. Stroller. Yeah. Stroller.
Oh, George Graham. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Let's see if there's any down here that you should know. Oh, you should know this guy. Right. This guy won an FA Cup medal playing against Man United in 1976 FA Cup final, but he played for us in the 60s. And also, I think, for Sheffield Wednesday.
Jim McCalliog.
Yes! Well done! Okay. Mark's brother. As in Meehan. Not going to get it. Tommy.
Oh, right.
Tommy
what
Meehan.
What era was Tommy Meehan?
I'll tell you in a minute. I don't think you're going to get any of the others, so I'm going to just tell you. All right, Tommy Meehan, Graham Moore.
I got Graham Moore early on.
I don't think you did.
He did. First one.
Did he?
Yeah, very first one. Said
Graham Moore.
Yeah, but you said that before we started.
Oh, what?
Yellow card.
Yeah. That's four yellow cards he's got. He's off twice.
It's a yellow card for you. Yeah, for you.
Yeah.
For
me? Did you get back 10 yards?
Yeah.
Red card, right.
Mike Pinner, Peter Proudfoot, James Saunders, Jimmy Turnbull, Colin Waldron.
Used to play for Bury.
Well, I'm going to tell you now.
10 because, games for us.
Right. Stan Crowther played for us between 58 and 60, 58 appearances. Harold Hulse. I didn't tell you about him either, did I? Harold Hulse, 1913 to 21, 111 appearances, 24 goals. England international in 1909, one cap, two goals. He was the first player to appear in three FA Cup finals with three different teams. The 1909 winning with Man United, 1912 winning with Villa, and 1915 losing with Chelsea in the Kharki Cup final.
He played once for England and scored two goals and never played again.
I know, bizarro.
What is it? Well, if he scored two for England, why did they decide, oh, we're not picking you now, you should have scored three?
Oh, it was like very gentlemanly then. Well, I'm terribly sorry, old chap, you scored too many goals, you see. It's not really fair on the others.
It's probably the truth, actually. You know.
It's a gentleman's game, don't you know?
Despite you scoring the goals, we didn't think you took them very well. You didn't think you...
You were very ungentlemanly about it.
Celebrated in a very ungentlemanly way.
You're not supposed to drop your shorts when you've scored a goal. No. George Hunter,
1930 to 14, 32 appearances, 2 goals. In January 1920, he was permanently suspended from all FA football for match fixing. Naughty boy. Naughty boy.
Like Peter Swan and Tony Kay. Do you remember them?
No.
In the 60s. Yes. Both yes. From Sheffield Wednesday.
Yes.
Done for Max Fitch.
That's
Max
right,
fixing,
I do.
Match fixing. And they
big,
never
big hoo-ha. Again.
And Swan and Kay was playing for England at the time, so it was a little bit
big hoo-ha. Right, yeah. Come on quickly because we're way over time. Tommy Meehan, 1920 to 1924, 133 appearances, 4 goals. England international, 1923, 1 cap. Tommy died in August 1924 of, we've had this before. I remember this is awful, of an inflammation of the brain, which had reached epidemic scales after World War One. He died just 4 months after playing his last match, age for Chelsea, age 28. There's a bigger story about Tommy Meehan. I'm sure Nathan was telling me about this, but it's very sad. Graham Moore, who you mentioned, 61 to 63, 72 appearances, 14 goals.
Played for Wales, Cardiff, I think, before that.
Yeah, well, that would make sense because he was a Wales international between 59 and 70. There's clever. 21 caps, 1 goal. Peter Proudfoot, 1906-7, 12 appearances. James Saunders, 1909, 2 appearances. Jimmy Turnbull, 1912-13, 22 appearances, 8 goals. And Colin Waldron, 10 appearances. So there you go. Well, I thought you did rather well then. You've all done very well. I commend you.
For the clues, though, Chidge, they were good.
It's my small contribution to this strange little part of the show, you know, which I'm afraid is sadly coming to a close because that, I'm afraid, is all we got time for this week. But we will be back, as you know, on Friday, this Friday. Yep, me, JK and Martin, 7:30 p.m. To report back on the match against Man United on Thursday night and to look ahead to Sunday's match against Sheffield United. And I very much hope that we'll have the lovely Ben with us, our chip butty favourite. Yeah, you like Ben, don't you, mate?
Fantastic.
Yeah. I hope so too. He's rather lovely, and I hope I can get older. I'm sure he'll be on it. I mean, he's young. He might be having a beer. You know, I kind of hope he is in a way, but hopefully we can get him. Right. Just a quick reminder to you eagle-eared people who are listening to the show, who have probably heard me and JK doing an approximation of an advert. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you will help support the Chelsea Fancast because they are sponsoring us. How lovely is that? Right, you can follow the show on all the social media at Chelsea Fancast, me at Stanford Chidd, Jonathan at Jonathan Kidd, and Dan at DanSilves73. It's been a blast, boys. I've thoroughly enjoyed it tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as me. But Dan, yeah, I mean, super to see you. Always lovely having you on the show. And especially on a weekend where I spent a lot of time with you on the Saturday. It seems very apposite.
Yeah, always a pleasure socially on the podcast, wherever it might be. I look forward to seeing you on Thursday for a Guinness or two.
Yeah, when are you going to be in the pub?
5, maybe.
Yeah, it's my day off. My day off, so, I mean, ironically, I probably, it doesn't matter that it's my day off and I'll be in the pub early, because I'll probably be driving. So yeah. I'll be paddling light, but I will be in the pub early. That's my aim. So hopefully perfect. 5. Yeah, I'll see you then. Great stuff. Looking forward to it as always. JK, you lovely specimen, you. Great to see thee.
Yellow card.
What for now?
For me, I think.
Oh, for you? Why? What have you done?
I thought I did too many interruptions earlier on.
No, you could never interrupt too much, JK. You know the show by now.
Oh, cheers. I love you.
It's good to see you, man. What?
Just making VAR to confirm. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Give me 5 minutes.
Okay. hopefully, we'll be gone by then. JK, as always, great to see you, mate. You've been superb tonight. And I won't, but I don't know. You never know. I might bump into you on Thursday. I hope so. But enjoy the game, mate. That's the main thing. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yes. Well, let's hope we can enjoy the game in this bizarre world of viewing our football team.
I know.
Let's hope we put in a decent performance and we don't just sit there thinking, oh, we are so shite. So yeah, let's hope this is an occasion where they do come out farting a bit more.
Farting or fighting?
Both.
Okay. We don't want to see Mr. and Mrs. Fart again farting about.
Mr. and Mrs. Fart. What came up with that for? No. God save us.
I want fight, not farts. All right. Right, you two have been brilliant, as I said. You lot who have been watching on Facebook, we should do this. I'm going to do a rolling crawl across the screen. Remember in the good old days with the Dad's Army, you know, you have been watching, you know, Stanford Chidge, Jonathan Kidd, Dan Silver, just on repeat loop as the title's going. And I'll try and remember to do that on Friday. I like that. Maybe we just have the Dad's Army theme as well. good. I mean, it would be appropriate in a funny old way. Although Martin always reminds us that he is the academy product from the youth. He brings the average age of the squad down considerably. But there you go.
Yes.
The Facebook people, the YouTube people, the Mixlr people, I love you. You've been brilliant as always. We will see you again on Friday. Thank you for listening. See you Friday. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, keep it... Shall I try that again? I can't even say that.
Yellow card.
Take two. Yellow card. Thanks for listening. See you on Friday. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, keep it chills.
Hit up your chills.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.